Hey everyone, welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast. Brian and I have each grown physical therapy businesses to 2 million plus in annual revenue. We're looking to get good advice to PTs trying to grow their practices. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast. My name is Dr. Owen Campbell, and with me as always is Dr. Brian Wolf, and together we are PhysioGrowth. So what we are going to talk about today is how to train your staff. So if you have one employee, if you have a virtual assistant, if you have 25 employees, all the way up to 100, a little bit different with 100, but as you're building, it is going to be so important, especially as you scale, to be able to train your staff well. And in this podcast, we will talk how Brian has built his company up to 5 clinics, all fully staffed and running the same programs across all of them. And he's going to walk you through some of the stuff that he does. And then, of course, in my old life, before I started out my own company, I was a regional director over 40 staff clinicians. So that I also have a lot of experience on how to make people work together, how to get them, you know, building off of standard operating procedures, all that good stuff. And that is the secret sauce that takes you from your first million to 10 million, right? Yeah. So with that, we will start in, Brian. I know you've been doing some kind of new and different stuff here with your with your staff recently.
I'm going to flip the script on Owen. I actually want to ask, this is more in Owen's wheelhouse personally. You know what I mean? I have some, you know this, Owen, too. So for me, obviously when it comes to training and some things that we do, obviously we train people in different systems. I have said this over and over again. The number one thing that I would have changed if I was starting over from scratch again is I would have put I truly believe that one of the most important ways that you would do this from a training perspective is figuring out first, where do you want to go with your business? What do you want to do? Because this doesn't matter nearly as much as if it's just solopreneurship. I just want to be me, solo, blah, blah. But if you're like, hey, I want to have a clinic that's full with a bunch of clinicians. I want to have 2 clinics. I want to have 3. I want to have 100. I don't care how many it is. Think first what your goal is and then begin to put in the structure to get there. So one of the things that I would say is when it comes to training and it comes to building a business, you want to create that structure because it's going to help make the training much more effective. I think that's something from that perspective. But then I want to like push it over to Owen and I want to be like, hey, I want you, Owen, to tell me, what do you think are some of the most effective ways? I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I'm sure Owen is knowing this all the time and has understood this. All right, one of the problems that we have. So how do we fix this problem? I have an employee. I got my first employee. They're new. I hired them. I need to do a bunch of tasks. I train them how to do those tasks in the first week or two. And then I look back and they're not doing it right. And I'm like, oh, crap. Because they won't. Because you taught them one time and you made them drink from a fire hose for the last 2 weeks. Yep. So they don't retain 10%, right? All right. What do I do?
Well, so the first thing, just to go back to your previous point, if you are a solopreneur and you want to grow, you should be writing standard operating procedures now. How to answer the phone? How do you schedule a new patient? How do you, you know, all these different parts of the business that if you've ever worked in corporate, you know, you had a book, you were given a book. Do that now, because for what Brian's talking about, your first employee, they are going to do that first week drinking out of a fire hose. But you're going to want something written in place that you can put between you and them and say, this is my expectations at this company, and this is how we're going to do it. Now, the first week, like you're saying, you know, they're not doing anything right. You have to really build into your schedule as the owner and manager time to just understand that they're not going to get it, right? And the cool thing about that is if they don't get it, then you have this time built in over those, you know, first 2 weeks. And if you look, if you're a member of PhysioGrowth, I actually put like an onboarding calendar in there of like, you know, the way that you should be building those first few weeks. And it was built off of what you guys do at Evolution. Mm-hmm. But you should be as the owner realizing that those 2 weeks of your time is going to be focused a lot on that first employee. Rolling out the red carpet is what we used to call it. First impressions are massively important for an employee's satisfaction at the company, all of that. So it actually correlates with long-term success. They stay with the company longer if they feel their first interaction, their first few weeks were like, oh my God, this place is awesome. So you want to have stuff in writing that they can refer to, so they don't need to call you, right? Because this will also tell you if they're a good self-motivator. But spend time in that clinic. You know, do your notes, do your Zoom calls, whatever it is, in that clinic for the week, so that you're always accessible, right? And you tell them, look, you're the most important part of this. Whatever call I'm on, interrupt me, because I want to make sure that you understand that I'm here for you. So really kind of giving them that big old hug. Talk to your people too. Like if it's a PT and they're coming on in the front office needs to be on board with that. Like the entire focus of those 2 weeks need to be on making sure that person feels like they were given a really good opportunity. That will almost always work. Now, if it doesn't work, then we got a problem of like, do we hire the right person? But having standard operating procedures that they can both refer to themselves and that you can refer to if they aren't pulling their weight or doing what you would expect at that time is going to be really important.
Yeah. I think one of the things that one of the things that I'm recognizing that's really helpful. So I'm understanding these SOPs are super important. And by the way, I still find even at my size, I'm like, crap, we never went over this SOP and did this. We never developed it. And like, I just sit down and literally yesterday we just scribbled out like, here's how we do this. Here's how we do that. Here's how we do this. And like, just came together and like brought it. So they can be done relatively quickly. It can implement it quickly. But I think one thing that I'm recognizing more and more, to Owen's point, is also having stuff in place where employees can reference this all the time. So one of the things that I've just recently been putting more in place, and I'm thinking I'm going to start rolling it out more within our company and more training, is this software called Loom. And if you haven't used Loom or seen it, it's really, really effective. It's basically a screen recording thing. So you can create like different pieces. In fact, it's how we used PhysioGrowth and how we created a bunch of the videos that we did is we created projects and like different slides. Then it's us talking with us going through a presentation. We use a software called Loom. And so it was designed to help cut down on meetings. So essentially, instead of me having to meet with somebody over and over and over again, I can create links of here's the SOP and here's me walking through talking about it. And so what I've done is made more of a specific effort that anybody in my organization who's training somebody has to record themselves doing it. And if they do that, then all of a sudden now, one, it's great for managers too, because in theory, if I have other people that are training, I can also hear how they're training. So I can also make sure that I'm checking on how they're actually training other people. And two, I can also have an archive of all the things that I'm doing for training of all different kinds. So say I train an employee like, oh, and you know this, like training a front desk staff, training other people, me actually recording all that stuff and then being able to just push it to other people, really, really effective. So I think that's a way to build that up.
One thing I will say to you, mm-hmm. What's the average age of a new hire for you? Probably somewhere under 35, right?
Yeah.
Front office, new, you know, PT. Take those recordings and TikTokify them. Right.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have a question on one thing in that presentation, but you went over six. Yeah. So they just won't look at it because they don't have time because they're being told they have to check the patient in. So like I would cut that down. And when you're recording it, I would have in your head of I need to get this point effectively across in a short period of time so I can chop it.
I love that Owen called it TikTokifying that. new definition of a word. But I agree with you, right? What Owen's basically saying is keep it short, right? Like keep it short and sweet, keep it efficient. Totally agree. So that's the cool thing about Loom also is you can make hour-long videos. You can make 30-second videos. You can make two-minute videos. You can make, you know what I mean? So I totally agree with that. Keep it simple, right? And like try and make sure that it's easy because some people are like, I don't have time to watch all those videos. That to me, actually, Owen, too, if I don't have time, that pisses me off. Because to my point, if that actually – so here's my take on this. So Owen had talked about before I started ranting here was then you got to think if I've taught the person multiple times and they're still doing it wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. That now you got to think about if I hired the wrong person. In my mind, it's not necessarily that. It's if the person says, hey, I don't have the time to watch the videos. Whoa. So you got the time to do the fucking job wrong? No. Right. Like that's not how this works either. Find the time to watch the freaking videos because you suck at your job and I need you to be better at your job. Now, obviously. Gussy that up a hair, right?
I was going to say, you but and I are point, very different managers.
Yeah. Well, because I also think. So here's something that I'll say. I also think that to your point, it's okay to be different managers, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you have to create a culture where everybody's accepted for who they are in that piece.
100%.
I get it that in this world climate, everybody's got to be politically correct and everybody's got to be X, Y, and Z thing, right? However, if I don't create a company culture that I can't say. Maybe it's not that. Maybe I'm saying, listen, that's not, I would say to somebody, that is not acceptable as an answer. Yeah. That you don't have the time, yet I'm telling you you're doing something wrong. I had the time to put the training together for you and record it, and now you're saying you can't reference it. We have a problem, right? And that's the aspect of how you would bring that up.
Well, and what I'm saying is there's a continuum, yeah, right? So there's a continuum of managers between the, and I'm not saying you're far on one end.
No, I know.
Right? But there's this thing where basically it's, you have the hard driver, high expectations, like, let's go. This is what I hired you for. Go for it. Right. And then you have the, hey, why do you think you don't have enough time? What are you stressed? Is there something I can do about the lighting?
Are you stupid? No.
things like that. Right. And of course, if you're talking to entrepreneurs, it's going to be a different conversation, but in front of the person, the biggest thing that I've found is you have to be able to strike that balance, because the people who are really good at the emotional intelligence managing suck at keeping stuff on time, right? Yeah. And then the business suffers, and then everyone's like, well, why aren't we getting raises? And then that, you have unhappy employees. The other side of that is, if you are too firm on that stuff, then you may not uncover an employee's strength, because they're not exactly like that direct hard driving that you need to run a business successfully in today's day and age. So you need to be able to shift gears a lot when you're training, because you're going to have all different employees, all of which are not as invested in the business as you. So you need to be able to talk the language of somebody who wants to connect emotionally, right? But you also need to be able to bring that person towards the side of, yes, but we need these numbers because I need to pay rent, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Like, these are the things that I think are really important when we go into training conversations, because you might not be the one training them. It might be it's your second line manager, right? Yep. And my thought is always the second line, the highest at the organizational level has to drive everything, right? The second line manager, the one kind of that's like over, maybe a regional director is the most common one. But even if you're a clinic manager and you're, for you guys, you have like a training side and a PT side. So they're kind of, second line. It's all about purpose. They have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. So I think the biggest thing, I'll finish up on this, is that making sure your training involves your purpose at every step. You always tie back, hey, we are picking up that damn phone on two rings, because we know that if we don't do that, they'll go to the mill down the street and we think we do everything better. So pick up the phone, right? Yep. Tying everything back to your purpose is a great way to train, because again, they will not remember the nuts and bolts. They won't remember that for 3 months, right? But they will absolutely remember the fact that you were passionate about what you care about.
Yeah, so. I know. I love that. And I think, I think this is one thing that I think is important. It also says when you're kind of also to tie this up. And again, if you've liked this podcast and found that this was really helpful for you and your business and what you're doing with whatever you're trying to do, please, just hit the follow button. That's all we ask. Like, and then also share this with friends. Word of mouth is the only way to grow a podcast. So we'd love to have more people that are listening and talk and ranting with us. one of the things to kind of put a bow on that, what Owen just talked about, is tying certain objectives back are going to be different at different layers of the organization, right? If you're talking with clinical directors or regional directors, those conversations are also going to be more revenue driven and more talking about productivity and things along those lines, right? If you're talking with regional office managers and stuff along those lines, same kind of kind of connection. But if you're talking about, particularly with front desk people, those are going to be more nuts and bolts of like, here's our clinical team. Like, here's why we need you to call back. Like, I love what you just said. Like, we got to pick up at two rings, because people don't like it when they call and no one picks up. They're like, well, is this office even real? Is there people, like, blah, blah, blah. Am I skeptical? So you got to be able to pick up the phone, right? And talk to those people. Along with the fact of like your clinical team, if you're saying, well, look, we got to get patients and communicate better with these different things, because they are going to talk with their friends and family, and you're going to create a better rapport in the community, and people are going to know who you are, and you're going to get more of the clients you love to have. So not everything has to be driven back to productivity. Not everything has to be driven back to revenue for that clinical team. And I think it is more important for some of the more higher up the closer people are getting as they're going up the quote unquote corporate ladder, going and more involved in the importance of driving revenue in your business. Those are people that need to be understanding more of the financial situations and where their career is and where their growth is. And that's where you can tie it back to the mission, the company mission, the company goals, the company growth, the company numbers, right? So I love that as a way to tie it back to what you're doing with training and explaining the why. That's really what you're doing. You're explaining the why, right?
The people interfacing with your customers should be drinking from a fire hose of purpose. Right. Yeah. And that because they need to convey that to your customers. That's your product. Right. But then as you move up the ladder, you slowly peel it away. Now, with your regional directors, you have to make sure that they are still getting a lot of purpose. Right.
Yeah.
Because they need to transmit that to the frontline people who are dealing with your customers. Right. But as you get higher, higher, higher and up and it gets C-suite and all that, then it becomes, we all know why we're here. This is what we do. Anyway, let's make sure this company can run. Right.
So
you slowly peel away the veil the higher up you go. But yeah, it's that, you know, you have to really be pushing everything with purpose to the people who are interacting with your customers.
Yep. I totally agree. No, I love it, man. That's awesome.
There you go. That's our next t-shirt. Drinking from a fire hose of purpose.
Drink from a fire hose with purpose. Right. I love that. I love that.
All right. So all right, man. Well, we will wrap that up. I know we both got a jet, but have a good one, man.
Thanks. You too, man. See ya.
See ya.